Ethical Training. The noble truth of the path leading to the cessation of suffering, O monks, is this. It is a noble eightfold path and nothing else, namely, right understanding, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration.
Good evening, Dhamma friends. Today we are going to talk about ethical training. In the Noble Eightfold Path, these three factors, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, they are included in Sila Kanda, in ethical training. This training aspect is also known as training in virtue. It is because that helps us to develop most beautiful and wholesome human qualities, great virtues. What is the purpose of practicing a religion? For some people, it is to have an ethical development or moral conduct. I have heard some people say, I do not have to go to the temple because I do not do anything bad. In their views, religion is to encourage the followers to behave ethically. This may be the most important goal of certain religions, but on the part of the Buddha, ethical training is only the first step. It is only the beginning. That is not the end goal. Ethical training is so important. It is because without this, we cannot achieve any spiritual cultivation. Ethical training can be compared to a foundation of a building. If you want to build a very solid, strong building, we need to have a good foundation. If not, this building will collapse. In the same manner, if you do not have a strong ethical training, we cannot practice meditation. We cannot achieve mental cultivation. Therefore, the Noble Eightfold Path, ethical training is mentioned at the very beginning as the foundation for spiritual cultivation. When it comes to ethical training, understanding and compassion becomes the twin pillars that remain as the base for ethical training. In many religions, moral conduct is introduced as a way of inducing fear or reward. For example, it is possible in a certain religion that ethical code comes as the divine revelation or message. So in certain religions, there are certain things should not be done, and certain other things should be done. However, if you do not follow these codes of ethics, then the possible outcome is you can be born in the hell. And if you were to follow them, then the possible outcome is that you will be rewarded in heavenly pleasure. So here, the hellfire and heavenly rewards were introduced in order to encourage human beings to follow an ethical conduct. This is, in fact, the common base for many religions. However, on the path of the Buddha, the base for ethical conduct is different. That is right understanding and right thoughts. Last week, we discussed about initial wisdom. So here, right understanding means understanding of the Four Noble Truths. When you understand that suffering is a universal phenomena and every living being suffers, and the cause of suffering is nothing but our own defilements, and then we do not need to continue to suffer, but we can end these defilements by following the Noble Eightfold Path. This understanding gives us the birth of thoughts of generosity, thoughts of goodwill, and thoughts of non-violence. So when we look at it, why we refrain from certain evil, wicked, immoral actions, it is because through the understanding of the Four Noble Truths, we do not want to cause any suffering to any living being who is already suffering. And when we see the suffering, we have the thoughts, may these beings be free from suffering. So understanding and compassion work in hand, and that becomes the foundation for ethical training. So that has to be emphasized. In fact, the Buddha says, Sabbe tasanti dandasa, Sabbe sang jivitang piyang, attanang upamankatva nahaniyena gateye. All the living beings, they tremble at punishment, torture, harassment. For all living beings, life is dear and precious. Having compared yourself, having put yourself into the shoes of the others and understood this, do not kill or do not become the cause of killing. So here the Buddha encouraged us to understand and then exercise compassion and refrain doing evil, wicked, immoral actions. When it comes to right and wrong, then we also have a different view on this, a different way of looking at it. How should we understand what is right and what is wrong? In this world, there are so many religions, different cultures and traditions. Each and every these traditions, cultures, they have different way of looking at the life. What is right in one culture can be considered as wrong in another culture. What is considered as wholesome in one religion can be considered as unwholesome in another religion. So, as common human beings, we have a dharma, perplexity, and what is right and wrong. Is something right just because it is said by a religious person? Or if something is wrong just because it is said so by so and so? How do we understand then right and wrong? Without this, ethical training is impossible. On the path of the Buddha encouraged us to use our common sense. And we should not follow the religions, traditions, cultures blindly. It does not mean we totally reject them, but we need to analyze them before we accept them. However, when it comes to understanding of what is right and wrong, Buddha encourages us to understand three things. Motive of the actions, intentions of the actions, and the consequences of the actions. Only when we analyze them objectively, without being biased, like a scientist, when we observe very carefully, mindfully, and then only we can understand what is ethically right and what is ethically wrong. The Buddha says, any actions which is motivated by greed, hatred, and delusion, they are unwholesome. Any action which has intended to bring harm and danger, to inflict suffering to others, that action is ethically wrong, unwholesome. Whatever the actions that result in pain and suffering, bring miseries, and if we were to see the consequences of those actions going to be miserable, painful outcomes, then those actions, again, unwholesome, ethically wrong. So the actions which are motivated by greed, hatred, and delusion, intended to bring pain and suffering, and consequences also lead to pain and suffering, and these actions are unwholesome. These are the actions ethically blameworthy. They are socially destructive. These actions, spiritually harmful, bringing you downward. These actions are also karmically productive in future sufferings. On the other hand, if any action is motivated by understanding, generosity, and compassion, if these actions are intended to bring peace, happiness, and joy, overall well-being, if these actions have consequences of pleasant results, beneficial results, then the Buddha recognized them as wholesome actions, ethically right actions. These are the actions which are ethically praiseworthy, socially productive, beneficial, spiritually bringing you upward, and karmically, they are productive in bliss and happiness. So these are the actions that the Buddha encouraged his followers to do. So here we understand, on the path of the Buddha, the right and wrong are understood in a very different way than many other religious systems. Because most of the time, something is good or bad because it is said by so and so and written down here or there. But in the teachings of the Buddha, you need to analyze them, scrutinize them very carefully, then only you can understand them. Now, when it comes to ethical training, as Buddha taught, there are two aspects to it. One aspect of it is Charitta Sila. The other aspect is Varitta Sila. Here, these two terms imply to mean that there are certain things that we need to do, and there are certain other things that we need to refrain doing. The term varitta means refraining of doing. So these are the unwholesome actions. Charitta means continuing again and again, cultivating, make it stronger. So these are the wholesome aspect of the ethical training. Now in this, let's look at right speech, right action, and right livelihood based on these two aspects. When it comes to right speech, there are four types of speech which are considered as wrong, and there are another four types of speech which are considered as right or wholesome. When we practice the right speech, then we have to refrain from telling lies. So this is the refraining aspect. But that is not enough. Then we need to do its opposite, which is the cultivation. Having refrained from telling lies, we dedicate ourselves to speak truthful words. Having refrained from divisive speech, which destroy the unity and harmony among the people, those backbiting words, slandering words, those words which can create resentment, suspicion among the people, those speech that we exercise in order to divide the people into groups, destroy the friendship. So we need to refrain from such speech, and then we need to dedicate ourselves to its opposite. We need to speak words which unite the people, which bring peace, not violence. Having refrained from abusive speech, those speech harsh, impolite, those words that hurt the other people. And having refrained such kind of rude, impolite words, one has to dedicate to cultivate its opposite, which is pleasant words, polite words, the words which are pleasing to the ears. And we need to dedicate ourselves to practice such a speech. Having refrained from the idle gossip, those useless talks which waste our time, then we must dedicate ourselves to speak meaningful words at proper time. So this is what we call practicing right speech. So when we practice right speech, we need to understand what is right speech and what is wrong speech, why it is right and why it is wrong. So if you were to look at it now, all the wrong speech, telling lies, divisive speech, harsh speech, idle chatter, and these speeches, they are rooted in greed, hatred, and delusion. Their opposite speech, which is truthful words, the words which are peaceful, uniting words, and the words which are pleasant and polite, and the words which are meaningful, these words are rooted in understanding, generosity, and compassion. So that is how we understand right and wrong speech. So we need, when we say we speak right speech, and we need to refrain from certain speeches, and we have to cultivate some other speeches. In a similar way, we also have to practice right actions. So when it comes to right actions, in varita aspect, means refrain aspects, there are refraining from killing, refraining from taking what is not given, and refraining from sexual misconduct. Why we have to refrain from them? Because they are rooted in greed, hatred, and delusion. They bring suffering for fellow brothers and sisters, and they are also productive in future suffering. They are spiritually harmful. They bring us downward, and they do not help us to progress on the path of the path towards enlightenment. Now, These actions also have their own positive aspect, which is charitta. Having refrained from killing, torturing, injuring living beings, one is dedicated to live compassionately, radiating boundless love and compassion towards all the living beings, thinking may all beings be well and happy. Having refrained from taking what is not given, that person dedicate for honesty and practice charity and generosity, live with a heart free from stinginess, live with a heart full of generous thoughts. Having refrained from sexual misconduct, he or she satisfy within the accepted norms and means, and he or she has the respect towards the others in terms of their relationship with their partners. So that person will not go to the extent to destroy any family or to do any kind of actions to satisfy one's own desire in unethical way. So here, when it comes to right actions, we also have to understand these two aspects, refraining aspect as well as cultivating aspects. Right livelihood, this is in fact cover both right speech and actions. As a Buddhist who follow the Noble Eightfold Path and trains in virtue or undergo ethical training, that person has to find a suitable profession to make a decent living. So here basically, we should not make a living in unwholesome way, unethical way. We should earn our wealth in a righteous way, peaceful way, without harming, damaging other living beings, or without excessively destroying our environment, trees, and the other living beings. So when we make a decent living, refrain from certain unwholesome types of traits and involve with certain other wholesome types of trait, that is what it means, right livelihood. So when it comes to this point, Buddhists are always encouraged to refrain from the livelihoods like trading in arms and lethal weapons, trading in intoxicating drinks and drugs, poisons, butchering, slaughtering animals or raising animals for the butchery, or what we call the human trafficking, or such kind of ways of making money. And that is, of course, considered unwholesome, unethical. But having refrained from them, you need to find a harmless, decent, legal profession which can make your living. So these three things together, right speech, right action, right livelihood, they together train us in moral conduct. So if you look at it, on the path of the Buddha, we encourage the human beings to behave in such a way which is harmonious and progressive for peaceful coexistence in human societies, with Understanding and compassion as the best foundation for this behavior, and then mindfully analyzing one's own motive, intention, and consequences before we carry on the actions. Not out of blind faith, not because somebody said so and we have to follow so, but with our own understanding. So this is, again, in order to practice or in order to train in ethical training or develop virtue, we still need initial wisdom, which we discussed last week. Not only that, in fact, in the Noble Eightfold Path, all the factors are linked together. So even though we see in ethical training, training of speech and action and livelihood, in real, in deeper sense, in fact, these are related to mental training itself. For example, when you refrain from unwholesome speech and dedicate yourself to practice right speech, you are not exercising your mouth. You are not exercising your vocal faculty, but you are exercising your mental faculty. When someone take a gun and kill another human being, in this particular action, his body and the gun are only instrumental. The one who is behind the actual action is your intention. So intention is the one here the Buddha recognized as karma. So when it comes to training right speech, right action, right livelihood, what we are training is our mind. We need to have right intention. That is the second Noble Eightfold Path, what we sometimes translate as right thoughts. And if we were to look at again, for example, you want to practice right speech, right action, and right livelihood. If you want to practice them, you cannot do them without right understanding, which is the first of the eight factors. You also cannot practice them with right thoughts, which is the second. You also cannot practice them without right effort. You also cannot practice them without right mindfulness. So remember, when we engage in training ourselves in ethical conduct, here at this stage, we are exercising right understanding, right thoughts, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, and right mindfulness. Seven factors are directly involved, and some degree of right concentration is also necessary in order for us to achieve the success. So that is why in the Noble Eightfold Path, all these factors are related together. Okay, so this is enough for today, so we can continue next week.